The gospel today comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she said, answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, he sighed, and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them to tell, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Praise to you, Lord Jesus, for your word. You all may be seated. Don't feed the dog at the table. Anybody else have that rule at your house? My sister and I were not to respond to those big, brown, pleading eyes that gazed up as we ate. We weren't to sneak bits of meat, or better yet, vegetables we didn't like, off our plates and let our pet gratefully take them as he licked our fingers. The dog might lie at our feet, but he was not to beg, and we were not supposed to feed him. Jesus agreed with my mother. "Children's food is not for dogs." He said so to a Gentile woman with a demon-possessed daughter in the vicinity of Tyre, a region opposed to Israel in the Old Testament and known for its paganism in New Testament times. It's on the coast of modern-day Lebanon, about 50 miles south of Beirut. Jesus came to Tyre to escape crowds and opposition he encountered in Jewish territory in Galilee. He may have wanted quiet time to instruct his disciples. So verse 24 tells us he found a place for them to stay and didn't want anyone to know they were there. Yet, he could not escape notice. A woman heard about Jesus, says verse 25. Verse 26 explains that she was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician. Phoenicians were among Israel's ancient enemies, the Canaanites. They were regarded as hopeless pagans in Jesus' time. Think of a Palestinian coming to an Israeli for help today, or a black person appealing to a white supremacist in our country. In Jesus' time, a Jewish man would despise this woman. But she came kneeling at his feet to ask him to cast a demon out of her daughter. Jesus' reply in verse 27 surprises us. He sounds like any other Jew of his day. "Let the children be fed first. It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." In Matthew 15, 24, he added, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." All the others are just dogs. It's hard to believe. This is our tender, compassionate Savior. Jesus looked down at this woman and said cruel words. His people were children. She and her people, Gentiles, were dogs. That's what they called them. Dogs in the ancient world were strays, like those roaming the streets of less developed country in our time. They were mangy animals whose main social function was to scavenge and eat garbage, even dung. You don't take good food for children and throw it to dogs like that. Of course, people love dogs here in 21st century America. We spend millions to feed them, groom them, give them medical care. Yet in Bible times, they were the most despicable, insolent, and miserable of creatures, as one writer put it. In a parable in Luke 16, when Jesus wanted to describe a totally wretched beggar, he pictured a dog licking his sores. Calling someone a dog was a grave insult. There are various strategies for taking the insult out of what Jesus said. The word for dog here is not the usual word for street dogs, but a diminutive, which implied a puppy or a pet. Perhaps Jesus spoke to the woman in a way that implied the kind of fondness my daughter and many of you have for your pets, your beloved domestic animals. Or, say some, suppose Jesus was just teasing this woman. A text, as anyone who communicates electronically knows, doesn't let you see facial expression and body language behind words. And masks may cause the same problem, too, sometimes. Cruel-sounding words might have been gentle banter. Jesus reminded the woman who she was and who he was, but not meanly and maybe with a smile. William Barclay wrote, "We can be quite sure that the smile on Jesus' face and the compassion in his eyes robbed the words of all insult and bitterness." So we could say Jesus kidded the woman and she responded in kind in verse 28. "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." It's a little exchange of wit then. And in verse 26, Jesus acknowledges the woman's cleverness. "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." It's all about gentle humor, not a barbed insult. But there is more than humor here. Jesus did say some funny things, but this, I don't think, was one of them. In Matthew's version of this, in Matthew 15:28, Jesus told her after what she said, "Woman, you have great faith." He didn't compliment her on her wit. He praised her for her faith. It's not about a clever comeback. It's about faith, the faith of a dog. It's still insulting to be called a dog. Stupid, vicious men call plain women dogs. Even if you love your canine pet, you know dogs are kind of innately filthy. Left to itself, a dog quickly sticks its nose, and if possible, its whole body, into whatever vile garbage it can find. Dogs greet each other by sniffing regions humans don't acknowledge in polite company. Dogs don't care about their dignity. That makes them good models of Christian faith. If a modern woman came to Jesus and he dropped that name dog on her, she'd bristle with pride. She'd stand on dignity. "I'm no dog. I'm a woman, a human being. I'm entitled to respect and help. How dare you?" Yet this Gentile woman meekly accepted Jesus' label for her. She admits she's a dog in verse 28 and pleads for her help because she is one. "Even dogs get something," she reasons. Help me as a dog if I'm nothing else. She didn't ask for her rights, not even for kindness or mercy, but only for the indulgence of scraps falling from a table set for someone else. It's not easy for us. But coming like a dog to Jesus is the only way to receive the help we really need. This woman needed deliverance for her daughter from the forces of evil. We need the same. We need to be forgiven and delivered from our sins. News media keep running stories of people sick with COVID-19 or even dying who now wish they had been vaccinated. They tell their friends and family, get the vaccine. But some don't come around. A doctor in Utah said, we have people in the ICU with COVID who are denying they have COVID. A handful of such people still say they won't get the vaccine even if they survive and go home. They refuse to let go of the pride and foolishness which kept them from accepting maybe the one thing on earth that could have helped them. We need to let go of such false dignity and be more like dogs. The Syrophoenician woman was willing to say she's only a dog. That's her confession of faith, her admission that she was a sinner outside God's covenant. Our translation began her reply, Sir, but it's the word for Lord. She, in fact, is the only one in all Mark's gospel who directly to his face calls Jesus Lord. She was a dog, but she made Jesus her master. The second part of our text shows us more dog faith. Jesus was on the move again in verse 31. He took a strange route, heading north up the coast before turning south and east to enter a region called the Decapolis, the Ten Cities. He avoided going back to Galilee and went to a region that had been freed from Jewish rule by the Romans. It was another area with a large Gentile population. And there in the Decapolis, they brought him another Gentile needing help, a man both deaf and unable to speak, we learn in verse 32. His friends and family took him to Jesus and begged Jesus to lay hands on him and heal him. Now, you can't bandy words with a man who can neither hear nor speak. So verse 33 says that Jesus simply took him aside in private. And he submitted the man to humiliating prodding. He poked his fingers in the man's ears and then spat on those fingers and touched the man's tongue. Now, if you say yuck at the thought of a stranger's saliva in your mouth, well, so would any Jewish person then. Like all bodily secretions, spit was regarded as something unclean. A Jew would avoid another person's saliva almost as much as you or I might now in the pandemic. Yet here, Jesus put his spit in that poor guy's mouth. It's dog faith again. Like I've said, dogs happily consume all sorts of icky stuff a human being would avoid. My wife has bad memories of being licked by the neighbor's dog after playing outside as a child on a hot, humid summer St. Louis day. The animal was happy to enjoy a little salty perspiration from a child's sweaty body. A bit of spit would probably also be a canine treat. Dog owners, spit on the ground. I bet your dog will sniff it and likely lap it up. There is humility in the deaf man's submission to what Jesus did. He can't speak his faith out loud, but he demonstrates it by letting Jesus do this, what we'd think, disgusting business to him. He put himself in Jesus' hands and let Jesus put his hands on him in an undignified way. There's an old Peanuts cartoon where Charlie Brown is sitting eating his lunch with Snoopy alongside. And he turns to the dog and says, you want the rest of this sandwich, Snoopy? I've already eaten half of it. You don't mind. Okay, it's yours. And Snoopy catches and snarfs down the sandwich, then walks away thinking, I'm so humble, it's sickening. But it's not sickening. Dog-like humility made that woman's daughter well. It healed a man and gave him back his speech and his hearing. It's the opposite of sickening. Dog faith is the way to health and wholeness. When we come to the Lord like a dog on its belly, admitting our sinfulness and acknowledging Him as Master, He responds to us with grace. Our psalm today, Psalm 146, said, "The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down." And being like a dog is part of who Jesus Himself is. Wags like to point out that God, spelled backwards, is dog. Jesus asked for dog faith because He was not ashamed or afraid to turn even Himself around backward and humble Himself like a dog. Philippians 2:8 teaches us that God and Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus let Himself get treated like a dog. He did it for us. Jesus submitted Himself to God the Father like a dog. At the crucial moment of healing that deaf man in verse 34, where did He look? He looked up into heaven like a dog looking up to its master. And the Father heard, as it said there, Jesus sigh. And when He said that Aramaic word, "Ephphatha," be opened, it was done. The Father responded as Jesus looked up to Him. In verse 36, Jesus again didn't want publicity. He decided to slip away like a dog into a corner for some rest. He asked people not to tell anyone about that miracle, but they did anyway. They were astounded, says verse 37, and said, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." And maybe they were remembering what we read from Isaiah 35 about God opening the eyes of the blind and unstopping the ears of the deaf. We learn then from this how we should look at each other. We are not, some of us, privileged children who get to sit at the table while the rest of the world licks up the crumbs. We are all dogs. That's what James chapter 2 was teaching today, as I said to the children. Those who are of us who are better off should not be treating people who are poor like dogs. "Come, sit at my feet," it said there in James. In fact, James told us in verse 5 of that chapter, "Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith, and to be heirs of the kingdom that He has promised to those who love Him?" It's James' way of saying that God likes dogs. He likes those who come humbly, knowing their faults and their failings and throwing themselves on His mercy, ready to receive any crumbs that drop from the table. 10 years ago, Otto von Habsburg died. He was Archduke of Austria, the last son of the Habsburg dynasty that ruled the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, as it was known. Otto had royal blood of the bluest shade. He was exiled from his homeland in his early years and eventually renounced any formal claim to the throne, but he was a great scholar and an able politician. He opposed Nazis and communists and was a visionary figure in forming the European Union. He served a time as president of the European Parliament. Von Habsburg's funeral was a huge ceremony at St. Stephen's Cathedral in Vienna. Dignitaries, aristocracy, a Catholic cardinal, and several bishops came to conduct the service and remember a great man. But the most remarkable part of the day came at the moment when it was time for his casket to be carried to his last resting place. A grand procession was led by the master of ceremony wearing a black suit with long tails to the Capuchin Monastery, a small yellow stone building in Vienna. There the MC stood at big black doors and rapped three times with a silver-headed cane tasseled in gold. On the video of the funeral, you can still see it on YouTube if you want. You can hear the brown robe monk's prior inside and see him. He answers, "Wer begehrt Einlass?" Who desires entry? The MC outside began to read all of Otto's titles. Otto of Austria, once crown prince of Austria-Hungary, royal prince of Hungary and Bohemia, of Dalmatia, Croatia, Slavonia, Galicia, Lodomeria, and Illyria, Grand Duke of Tuscany and Krakow, Duke of Lorraine, Salzburg, Styria, Carinthia, Carinthia, and the Bukowina, Grand Prince of Transylvania, Margrave of Moravia, Duke of Upper and Lower Silesia, of Modena, Parma, Piacenza, Questala, Aschwim, and Zastor, Teschen, Friol, Dubrovnik, and Zadar, Princely Count of Habsburg and Tyrol, of Kyberg, Carizia, and Gradiska, Prince of Trent and Brixen, Margrave of Upper and Lower Lusatia and Istria, Count of Hohenems, Feldkirch, Bregen, Zonenburg, Lord of Triesta, Kotor, and Vindigmarsch, Grand Fafad of the Fafadship of Serbia, etc., etc. He actually said etc., etc. And then we hear the prior inside reply, "Wir kennen ihn nicht." We don't know him. And so the MC took that cane and knocked again three times, bam, 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 with the same answer, "Who desires entry?" And so he started over. "Dr. Otto von Habsburg, president and honorary president of the Pan-European Union, member and quondam president of the European Parliament, honorary doctor of many universities, honorary citizen of many cities in Central Europe, member of numerous venerable academies and institutes, recipient of high civil and ecclesiastical honors, awards, and medals, which were given him in recognition of his decades-long struggle for the freedom of peoples, for justice and right." But again, we see and hear the prior say, "We do not know him." Once more, the MC knocked three times and was asked, "Who desires entry?" But this time the MC replied only, "Otto, ein sterblicher, sündiger Mensch." Otto, a mortal and sinful man. And the prior looked up and said, "So komme herein." Let him come in. His fellow monks swung open those big wooden doors, and they received the body of one more poor sinner, relying on the grace of God and waiting then to be raised up when Jesus comes again. Yes, Jesus called that woman a dog. Yes, he put spit in a man's mouth. But as people then realized and said in verse 37, he does all things well. He does well when he asks us to come to him like they did, like dogs, to come in the end like Otto von Habsburg, with no claims of pride or accomplishment, but with simple dog faith in his grace. So if it feels sometimes when things go wrong for you, when you're sick or poor or lonely or afraid, if it feels like the Lord is treating you like a dog, that may be good. That may be very well. He is the good master. He wants to help and heal and save you. He only asks a little humble faith. And then he'll welcome you to his table. And even the crumbs from it will be a banquet of joy and blessing. Sometimes it's good to be a dog. Amen.